Okay, in chapter 24, that was sort of that climactic chapter where all of the prophecies about the destruction of Jerusalem through the Babylonians was about to come true. In other words, Ezekiel announced it's going to happen. You've been warned. And as a picture of that, if you remember, what made that chapter so poignant is the way that God pictured the death of Jerusalem was through the death of Ezekiel's own wife. And that all happened in chapter 24. Interestingly enough, the confirmation of what was announced in chapter 24 doesn't come until chapter 33, verse 21. There's this long period in between. And what happens in this long period is there's a series of oracles, that's just a fancy word for judgments and laments, against the surrounding nations that didn't come to the aid of God's people when they were attacked by the Babylonians. That goes on for a number of chapters, chapters 25 all the way through to about the middle or two-thirds through chapter 33. So that's sort of the big picture of the section that we are in. So we're right here now. So last week when we looked at chapter 25, I think Ezekiel went after three or four nations pretty quickly. Those are the immediate surrounding nations. And there was a paragraph on each. We saw a lot of continuity in terms of what they were being judged for. Things change a little bit in the passage before us today. And so if you notice what I just said, in chapter 25, I think there were three or four nations that were judged. Look at this. From chapters 26 to 28, it's really one nation. It's Tyre. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So chapter 26 is the oracle or the judgment against the nation of Tyre. And then in chapter 27 is the lament or the song of woe over Tyre. And you would think at the end of chapter 27, okay, are we done with Tyre? We're tired of Tyre. Can we move on? But no. In chapter 28, the first part of it is oracles against the king of Tyre. So he's spotlighted, not just the nation, but here, the king himself, it becomes very personal. And then in the second part of chapter 28 is a lament for the king of Tyre. So we'll find out why in a moment, but this is where we're at. My thought was to do three chapters today. It sort of runs, it's Trinitarian and things like that, but I thought, well, half the class will be over before we've actually read the thing. So today we're just going to try to push through and do these two, the oracle against Tyre and the lament for Tyre, and we'll see where we get. And then next week, Jonathan will pick you up at chapter 28. Let me orient you to Tyre just a little bit. Just going to spend a few moments because you're like, Tyre, where is that? So I have this map for you, okay? And it's color. So if you look all the way up in the top, right along the coast of the Great Sea, known as the Mediterranean in modern days, you will see Tyre and Sidon. You see them there? Okay, so we're particularly talking about Tyre. Tyre was the major city of those two, and they were the primary cities of, you see just inland, it says Phoenicia. It's the Phoenician Empire. Now, one of the things about Tyre that made it sort of so important as well as impregnable to attack is it was important because it was right along the coast. And if you ever to see pictures of ancient Tyre, it was an island that was just off the coast, and Tyre actually means rock. So it was built into and on the rock. So it was very hard for it to be attacked. It looks like it's on the coast there, but if you can see, Sidon is literally on the land. They tried to put that dot just off of it. It's just off the coast of Phoenicia. That's Tyre. One other thing to keep in mind is if you think about the economy of the ancient world, the way that goods either traveled was by the sea or by the land. Makes sense. At this point in history, the main trading area for things coming by the sea was Tyre. You can understand why. It was impregnable, well fortified. You knew that your goods coming in there wouldn't be attacked or stolen. So in terms of sea travel and sort of sea commerce, Tyre was the big one on the block. Interestingly enough, at this time in history, in terms of land, in terms of goods moving through land, Jerusalem was the big boy. It was the center of the nation. Solomon had built it up so much. And so you can understand why, and we'll see this when we get to the scripture, that when Babylon comes and attacks primarily Jerusalem and levels it, those in Tyre and Sidon, they don't come to the aid because they're like, huh, our major trading partner is now about to be destroyed. That can only work to our advantage. And so they really gloated over the destruction of Jerusalem for their own benefit. And I think that gloating and that refusal actually to come to the aid of Jerusalem is one of the reasons why the Lord or Ezekiel spends three chapters just talking about what's going on. Okay? Does that give you enough of a bearing to understand why and what's going on? Okay, I thought so. Let me do this then. Let me pray, and then I'm going to read sort of a paragraph by paragraph. We're going to go through chapter 26 just a piece at a time. I'm going to tell you what's going on in the piece. I'll read it, and you give me any thoughts that you see, and then we'll move on. We'll just go back and forth. And then when we get to chapter 27 here, I'm going to read it and give you guys a little bit of time on your own in small groups to talk about it. So we're going to move this thing along. We're good on that? Okay, let me pray. God, we're very grateful for our time together. This morning, we ask that as we read your word, that you would use it to renew our minds in terms of your thoughts, your priorities, your passions. Pray that we could learn not only about your ways, but how we should respond to your ways and how all of what you've done culminates in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of rebels and enemies, not only from Tyre and Sidon, but also for us as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just say one more thing, and this will be quick. Tyre and Sidon become important even in the New Testament, if you're familiar with the Gospels. So you realize, remember when Jesus went up to that area and the Syrophoenician woman, right, Phoenicia, comes to him and wants him to heal her daughter? What does he call her? Do you remember what he calls her? Dog. And she doesn't back away. She's like, oh, even the dogs get crumbs from the table. So there's this back and forth. Also, I think it's in Matthew 10, I think middle of Jesus' ministry. Remember what the disciples wanted to do with Tyre and Sidon? Yeah, can we just call down fire on them? That was the attitude back then. And remember what Jesus said. I tell you what, they're doing a lot better than you guys here in Israel, just so you know. So Tyre and Sidon have this sort of rich history in terms of God's people. So let me start to read. Let me read verses 1 to 6, and if you're making notes, want to do it, this is really the condemnation. I have one word to sort of summarize each of these sections. Verses 1 to 6, condemnation. Let me read it. In the 11th year, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, because Tyre said concerning Jerusalem, aha, the gate of the peoples is broken. It has swung open to me. I shall be replenished now that she is laid waste. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will bring up many nations against you, as the sea brings up its waves. They shall destroy, excuse me, they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers, and I will scrape her soil from her and make her a bare rock. She shall be in the midst of the sea, a place for the spreading of nets. For I have spoken, declares the Lord God, and she shall become plunder for the nations, and her daughters on the mainland shall be killed by the sword, and they will know that I am the Lord. So that's the condemnation. Just really quick, what are some of the key things you noticed in terms of that condemnation? Anything strike you? Yeah, Corey? That's right. And you're going to see that. So you're going to see sea imagery here. In fact, when we get to, is it right, 27? Let me look. When we get to the laments, I'll just say it. When we get to the laments, Ezekiel writes the laments and he uses sort of seafaring image. He talks about Tyre being a ship that thinks it's so great and all of a sudden it's destroyed. So great. What else do you notice about this? Yeah, Aaron? So, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You looked at me for plunder, I'm going to plunder you. Good. Anything else that you see there? Okay, I'm going to move us on then. See, I told you we move quick. Verses 7 to 14 there is judgment from the outside. In other words, first paragraph, he's going to condemn it. He's going to judge it. This next passage is how he's going to do it. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses and chariots and with horsemen and a host of many soldiers. He will kill with the sword your daughters on the mainland. He will set up a siege wall against you and throw up a mound against you and raise a roof of shields against you. He will direct the shock of his battering rams against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. His horses will be so many that their dust will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of the horsemen in wagons and chariots when he enters your gates as men enter a city that has been breached. With the hooves of his horses he will trample all your streets. He will kill your people with the sword, and your mighty pillars will fall to the ground. They will plunder your riches and loot your merchandise. They will break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses, stones and timber and soil they shall cast into the midst of the waters, and I will stop the music of your songs, and the sound of your lyres shall be heard no more. I will make you a bare rock. You shall be a place for the spreading of nets. You shall never be rebuilt, for I am the Lord. I have spoken, declares the Lord. Okay, what do you notice there? Yeah, Eric. Making them a bare rock and spreading nets over them. Remember the image, what do you spread the net over? Something you're trying to capture, okay? So bare rock is mentioned, that's a judgment. Yeah, Arlene. Yeah, you see all the different images there about that. Yep. What else? Yeah, Dave. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly right. Aaron?
The judgment of Tyre is almost like a condensed version of destruction.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities between that. You notice? And Josh?
Verse 13, any sort of celebration of joy is just put to end.
Yeah, done. We're done here. Okay, let me ask you a question. So think about militarily, geographically, what's the major challenge in moving from destroying Jerusalem to destroying Tyre? What's the challenge?
It's a naval assault, so it's hard to move then in that manner. You have to either bring around by land which would be impossible to do, or you're going to take them across by sea. It's hard to move battering rams and axes and horses by sea. They don't get there easily.
Excellent. Does that make sense? Right? So, which is why we know from history that Nebuchadnezzar tried for 3 years and couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. What he did is he built this little, a little isthmus to it. That's how we got some of the horses there. But if you can imagine, if the isthmus is too narrow and you only have a few horses, they're just sitting ducks for the walls that are surrounding the city. In fact, if you have your Bible, if you just turn to chapter 29 of Ezekiel, starting at verse 17, if you don't, it's okay. But chapter 29, verse 17, Ezekiel actually reflects on what happened there. Let me read it. So Ezekiel 29, 17. In the 27th year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made his army labor hard against Tyre. Every head was made bald, and every shoulder was rubbed bare, just because, like, pushing, right? Yet neither he nor his army got anything from Tyre. to pay for the labor that he had performed against her. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He shall carry off its wealth. And it goes on. So in other words, for 3 years, Nebuchadnezzar tried to do what most armies thought was impossible, to destroy Tyre. And even though they labored hard, they couldn't do it, which is why, remember, Nebuchadnezzar, though he was a wicked king, was an instrument of the Lord, which is why to preserve him and his army, the Lord then said, okay, we're going to turn your attention to Egypt. And Egypt is going to fall, you know, a little bit later in the oracles. He's going to turn his attention to Egypt. Tyre was eventually destroyed. Anyone know who destroyed, anything like geeky historians here? Anyone know who destroyed Tyre? Alexander the Great. Yeah, Alexander the Great did it in about 320 BC. And what he did is he spent all of his time not building a little isthmus, but he spent all of his time in building something to get over to there. He finally moved his army. It took him about 7 years to do this. And he finally destroyed Tyre. Tyre was gone, which is why there is a modern-day Tyre, but it's actually up the coast. It's part of Lebanon at this point. Yep.
Did he succeed at least
doing damage? Yeah, he did damage, but he could not destroy it. So, in other words, if you think about what he was able to do to Jerusalem, it never happened. It was finally completed later on in history. I think God kept his word. So Nebuchadnezzar was sort of the warning bells. Nebuchadnezzar weakened Tyre such that eventually Alexander the Great would come in and would destroy it. So what's going to happen here, the judgment from outside, is just as God sort of commissioned Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to bring judgment against God's people, particularly Jerusalem, he's going to do the same for all of Jerusalem's enemies, and here he's marshaling Nebuchadnezzar to go against Tyre. Okay, verses 15 to 18 there is sort of the effect of it. So our first paragraph was sort of the announcement of condemnation. What we just read is, how is it going to happen? Now, verses 15 through 18 is, what was the effect of it? Let me read that. Thus says the Lord God of Tyre, will not the coastlands shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded groan, when slaughter is made in your midst? Then all the princes of the sea will step down from their thrones and remove their robes and strip off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground and tremble every moment and be appalled at you, and they will raise a lamentation over you. How you have perished, you who were inhabited from the seas, O city renowned, who was mighty on the sea. She and her inhabitants imposed their terror on all her inhabitants. Now the coastlands tremble on the day of your fall, and the coastlands that are on the sea are dismayed at your passing. Can we just stop there? So what is the effect of at least what Nebuchadnezzar was able to do in his 3 years? What's the effect of the judgment? Do you notice? And note the repeated words that'll help you understand the focus here. What did you notice? I'll let you do that while I blow my nose. Turn this on. There you go. Okay. What do you got? Yes, Richard. Okay. Why did you say afraid? Was there a word that was... Yeah, tremble seems to be the repeated word. So certainly there is destruction, but what Ezekiel is pointing out is one of the bigger effects is fear. There's this trembling going on as Tyre is attacked and brought down. Look at the passage. Why are they trembling, or what are they trembling about? What is so fearful? Yeah.
Tyre had been untouchable. Level of power. And so what was set up as perfection with
Yeah.
Change.
Yeah, so I love the way you said that. So the established order of superpowers and lesser superpowers had been in play for a number of years. And even though there's suffering under that, there's a degree of sort of comfort, like this is predictable. All of a sudden, it has become very unpredictable. Like the formerly impregnable Tyre is starting to look pretty bad. And so there's this trembling going on. Any other reason why do you notice that there's trembling? Yeah. Yeah, Roger? Yes. Where do you see that, Roger? Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, and what you're keying into is this. So not only the nation is tottering, but the whole authority structure is starting to totter at this point. And that causes massive trembling. It's sort of like, and we're probably going to make a few connections today to Ukraine. So what's disturbing is not only that Russia has done this, they've upended the order of things, and everyone's like, oh, but what are they trying to do? They're trying to upend the authority structure. And I tell you, when you take out the leadership, it's not only that your nation has been invaded, but everything is unsettled. Like, is the banking system going to work? Like, is the media, like, all of a sudden, everything that you thought you could rely on, not just outside, but inside, is thrown in disarray. And so there's trembling and fearfulness going on, which is why I think, and my guess is it happened, one of the first things the Russians did is they tried to subvert the government through misinformation, right? What does misinformation do? It causes you to tremble. You're not sure who you can trust anymore. So that's one of the biggest effects. And if you think about it, here's Tyre. Tyre means what? What does the word mean? Rock. Here's the rock, and it's trembling. It's trembling. It's not sure what to do. I mean, the image is just, I think, very, very poignant at this point. The last part of this, of chapter 28 here, this oracle against Tyre, is verses 19 to 21, which I think, I just call it final destruction. I didn't know any better words for it, but this sort of final destruction that doesn't happen right away. But look at verse 19. For thus says the Lord God, when I make you a city laid waste, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I bring up the deep over you and the great waters cover you, and I will make you go down with those who go down to the pit, to the people of old, and I will make you to dwell in the world below among ruins from of old, with those who go down to the pit, so that you will not be inhabited. But I will set beauty in the land of the living. I will bring you to a dreadful end, and you shall be no more. Though you be sought for, you will never be found again, declares the Lord God. So really quick, any observations there? This is sort of the final word to the nation. Yeah, Dave, I'll get you, Aaron. Right. Yeah.
And it's now God imposing himself into it, which we haven't seen probably since, you know, earlier on in Israel's history.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And you know, and this is just sort of putting your little memory banks in the scripture. The sea is often used as God's weapon. Okay. So you see it here, the sea is going to come and destroy it. Where else have we seen the sea being God's weapon? Exodus, oh my gosh, is that the clearest thing, right? So, but there's this scene, because for the ancient world, the sea was a fearful thing. You know, if you've ever been swimming in the ocean, what's the worst part of it? And it's not the waves, it's you can't see past them. You don't know what's underneath there. It's not like a swimming pool or something. And so there's this fearfulness, and God will bring the fearful up, and he will destroy. Anything else you notice in those verses? Sorry, Aaron, I told you. Yep, yeah, that's right. Pride cometh before the fall, right? So what they had boasted in will be their downfall. Kate? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Good. Okay. Yes, Gary.
Five times he says you will never be found again.
Yeah, that's right. And we know from history that it actually was. Gary, I love the fact that you're on our finance team. You always know the numbers. I love this. I love it. Five times. I gotta get your brain here. I'm not that detailed. I'm so glad that you are. Okay, now, so this is the oracle against it. Now, interestingly enough, what Ezekiel does now is he has a lament for it. I think what's fascinating by it is if we were doing it, it wouldn't say a lament for Tyre. It would say a gloat over Tyre, right? Ha-ha, right? You get us, we're going to get you. But there's this deep lament. There's this song of sadness that happens. So I'm going to read the rest of our passage. It starts there, chapter 27. Just going to read the whole thing. Then I'm just going to let you talk in small groups for a couple minutes. Some of the things you noticed about this lament. We'll only have a few minutes, but I think it'll be profitable. Let me start. The word of the Lord came to me. Now you, son of man, raise a lamentation over Tyre. And say to Tyre, who dwells at the entrance to the sea, the merchant of the people to many coastlands, thus says the Lord God, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. Your borders are in the heart of the seas. Your builders made perfect your beauty. They made all your planks of fir trees from Sinir. They took a cedar from Lebanon to make a mast for you. O oaks of Bashan, they made your oars. They made your deck of pines from the coast of Cyprus, inlaid with ivory. A fine embroidered linen from Egypt was your sail, serving as your banner. Blue and purple from the coast of Elisha was your awning. The inhabitants of Sidon and Arvad were your rowers. Your skilled men, O Tyre, were in you. They were your pilots. The elders of Gebal and her skilled men were in you, caulking your seams. All the ships of the sea with their mariners were in you to barter for your wares. Persia and Lud and Put were in your army as your men of war. They hung the shield and helmet in you. They gave you splendor. Men of Arvad and Helek were on your walls all around you, and men of Gamed were in your towers. They hung their shields on your walls all around you. They made perfect your beauty. Tarshish did business with you because of your great wealth of every kind, silver, iron, tin, and lead they exchanged for your wares. Java and Tubal and Meshech traded with you. They exchanged human beings and vessels of bronze for your merchandise. From Beth Togomar, they exchanged horses, war horses, and mules for your wares. The men of Dedan traded with you. Many coastlands were your own special markets. They brought you in payment ivory, tusks, and ebony. Syria did business with you because of your abundant goods. They exchanged for your wares emeralds, purple, embroidered work, fine linen, coral, and ruby. Judah and the land of Israel traded with you. They exchanged for your merchandise wheat of Minnith, meal, honey, oil, and balm. Damascus did business with you for your abundant goods because of your great wealth of every kind. Wine of Helbon and wool of Sahar, casks of wine from Uzal they exchanged for your wares, wrought iron, cassia, and calamus were bartered for your merchandise. Dedan traded with you in saddle cloths for riding. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar were your favored dealers in lambs and rams and goats, and these they did business with you. The traders of Sheba and Ramah traded with you. They exchanged for your wares the best of all kinds of spices and all precious stones and gold. Haran, Cana, Eden, traders of Sheba, Asur, and Kilmad traded with you. In your market, these traded with you in choice garments, in clothes of blue and embroidered work, and in carpets of colored materials bound with cords and made secure. The ships of Tarshish traveled for you with your merchandise, so you were filled and heavily laden in the heart of the seas. Your rowers have brought you out into the high seas. The east wind has wrecked you in the heart of the seas. Your riches, your wares, your merchandise, your mariners and your pilots, your caulkers, your dealers in merchandise, and all your men of war who are in you, with all your crew that is in your midst, sink into the heart of the seas on the day of your fall. The sound of the cry of your pilots, the countryside shakes, and down from their ships come all who handle the oar. The mariners and all the pilots of the sea stand on the land and shout aloud over you and cry out bitterly. They cast dust on their heads and they wallow in ashes. They make themselves bald for you and put sackcloth on their waist, and they weep over you in bitterness of soul and bitter mourning. In their wailing, they raise a lamentation for you and lament over you. Who is like Tyre, like one destroyed in the midst of the sea? When your wares came from the seas, you satisfied many peoples. With your abundant wealth and merchandise, you enriched the kings of the earth. Now you are wrecked by the seas. In the depths of the waters, your merchandise and all your crew in your midst have sunk with you. All the inhabitants of the coastlands are appalled at you, and the hair of their kings bristles with horror. Their faces are convulsed. The merchants among the peoples hiss at you. You have come to a dreadful end and shall be no more. Wow, isn't that a great lament? My goodness. Talk among yourselves just for a couple minutes. What are some of the key things you noticed? And I'll bring you right back. Okay, I'm going to bring you back. Sorry, that was quick. We're doing a lot today. We're doing a lot. Oh, man, man, man. Okay, aren't you guys loving Ezekiel? Like, we're starting to understand this book. I don't know, when we started months ago, you're like, oh my gosh, I felt the same way. Now I'm like, okay, we can actually, by God's help, understand his word. Okay, whatever. 27, what did you notice about the lament? What we got? This is fun, just because we're not going through it. But yeah, Janet, what do you got? Yeah. Yeah, you notice that. So the bracketing is this metaphor of a ship. How appropriate, right? This is a seafaring port, and God begins to describe it as this great, great ship. Eric, did you have a thought?
Yeah, some detail about who they did business with and what kinds of wares. Like, wow.
Yeah. Okay, and let's just pop off that. Why all the detail? I don't know. I mean, you were listening while I was reading. I'm reading this going, we almost done? So, but why all the detail? There's some parts of Scripture we get very little detail. Isaac. Yep. Yeah, that's right. How many people are affected when this city goes down? Jacob? Yeah, yeah, it's so demoralizing and so humiliating. I'll get you, Paul, in one sec. But just even look at, the end of verse 3 there, but it's at the start of that poetic section. Oh, Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. You're like, oh my gosh, like pride comes before the fall, but it's not a quick fall, it's just listing it out. Paul, you had a thought. Yeah, that's right. And in fact, what's interesting is some of the descriptions of Tyre at other points in the prophets are like, wow, this is what people should be saying about the Lord. It's really interesting. There's this exchange taking place. Corey? Yeah.
Your ship's wrecked. It's not like, oh, they're pirates. I can go get them.
Right.
Back. No, it's at the bottom.
Yeah, it's done. Complete destruction. Steve, you going to win on that?
The picture you get in the first part is this is a busy place.
Yeah.
It's active. I can see it in my head. It's like a movie scene, you know, where everything's going on and trading and all these products. And the next minute, it's gone.
Yeah, totally gone. That's exactly right. And I think one of the effects of that long section, right, 12 to 25, of how all these nations are streaming to it and trading, I think it brings into relief, in a sense, or contrast, what happens in verse 35. Look at verse 35, the very end of this lament. All the inhabitants of the coastlands are now appalled at you, and the hair of their kings bristles with horror. Their faces are convulsed. The merchants among the peoples hiss at you. You have come to a dreadful end and shall be no more. So what kind of friends has all of their trading won for Tyre? None. Just like they hissed at Jerusalem when destruction came to them, when destruction now comes to Tyre, what's happening? Everyone's like, shh, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Don?
I mean, this is a city that was wealth was based on the sea.
Yep. That's exactly right. Yeah, it's so, the irony is so rich. They trusted in the sea, they trusted in their beauty, but the sea now becomes the thing that will destroy them by the hand of the Lord, and their beauty is no more, because whenever anyone thinks on them, they're like, oh, this is horrible, horrible. Like, get away from me. Okay, we're going to transition quick. We only have a few minutes left. How would you think about applying applying two chapters like this? In other words, Tyre, great, we need to learn that. But what is God's word for us as we think about the principles that emerge? They might have been principles we've already talked about. Yeah, Eric?
I think Paul said in Corinthians, let the things you stand
take heed. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so it's definitely a warning against pride. And in connected with that, we read it last week during the sermon. But remember in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul lists all the things that the Israelites did, not so that we could think we're so much better than them, but so we would take warning. Like, this happened to you as an example. And just like Tyre, we're all tempted to trust in what we do or what people think of us. So I feel like Aaron, and I'll get you, Ethan. Yeah, that's right. Against the Lord, there, no army can fight, right? No army can fight. Ethan, yeah.
We didn't touch it too much in our discussion, but the fact that God tells him to raise a lamentation over Tyre, like he's not gloating over Tyre like they did over them.
Yeah.
I think he mentions that. And all throughout, you see that God knows everything in trade, and he knows perfectly how to destroy them and bring shame and everything. I think oftentimes I'm quick to put my own judgment on people, whereas I should.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. And just the fact that this lament is raised, I don't know about you, doesn't it remind you a little bit, remember when Saul died, what David's immediate response was? He like had a lament. Like, I would have had a party. Like, he has a lament because he was the Lord's anointed and vengeance belongs to the Lord. And so all along, God's people are not allowed to gloat either. We don't gloat over our enemies. We bless our enemies, for sure. And the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, and we see it here. Any other thoughts on, yeah, Richard, and it'll be the last thought, actually. That's exactly right. And here's like big picture, and then I'll pray. Big picture, remember the Bible is all about Jesus. Right? All these stories are whispering his name. So you look at Tyre, who really was beautiful and trusted in its beauty and was strong. Everything was streaming to it. But at the very end, as God's judgment fell on Tyre, everyone was appalled at it. They just shook their heads at it. Does that remind you of anybody? Like, that's Jesus. You know, Jesus, you know, the most beautiful one of all creation, the epitome of strength, the eternal Son of God. And he comes, and at the end of his life, not because of his pride, but because of his humility, as he's on the cross, what are people doing? Remember what it says? They're appalled. They're shaking their heads. They're hissing at him. Like, all the judgment that we see here in Tyre actually fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that people like you and I, who are no better than the Tyrenians or anything else like that, we trust in things of the Lord, that we could be forgiven, we could be rescued, and we could be redeemed. And that's a great, I think, way to end. I don't mean it to be short as if it's unimportant, but remember, all of this cultivates a longing and a hunger for Jesus Christ and a deep gratitude for what he's done for us. And we get to worship him in about 15 minutes. So let me pray. God, thank you so much for our time together. Even as we ended here, It does remind us of the tremendous cost that our Lord Jesus Christ paid. That the one who is co-equal with you, he didn't consider that something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. He took the very nature of a servant. He was obedient, even to the point of death, death on the cross. And on that cross, those that he was holding together by the word of his power, they were appalled at him. They mocked him. Just that we could be credited with his righteousness. Thank you for our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to worship him well this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.